is Jonathan Fogel, and you are listening to Mac Edition Radio.
This is Harris Fogel at the SIGGRAPH conference in Vancouver, British Columbia, and I'm with Steve Cooper of Smith Micro. And of course, Steve, you're well known for a product you had a lot to do with, which is Poser.
That's right. I've been with the product for about just about 16 years now, so that's a long time.
We've talked about how that product began as this very, very simple tool. And in fact, I taught it when I was at University of Redlands, 15 years ago, I think. And then it's migrated into a much more sophisticated environment, right?
Yeah, we initially, I think, started out as a niche that was sort of focused on creating a reference mannequin for artists to draw on top of or to use like on screen while they were sculpting or painting. And it sort of has evolved beyond that into a storytelling device. It's sort of a digital marionette scenario where you build a scene, put the characters in that are already kind of pre-canned, sort of like puppets that are ready to go, and then start taking pictures or video of them. So for us, what it's about is sort of making it simple to put that story together. We don't want our users to have to think about the complexities of building a 3D model from scratch. Like, how do you build a person? How hard is that? That's really hard to do. How do you make the eyes? How do you build the emotion into it? How do you then rig it so that it can be animated or build in an animation sequence for it? So what we wanted to do is to kind of take a lot of that black art out of the character world, the 3D character scenario, and transform it into a really accessible product. And that's what kind of Poser has really succeeded with.
Poser is now in its ninth iteration, and that's not including some variants, Poser Pro, regular Poser, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Actually, there's a funny little anecdote. People in the community refer to all the odd versions of Poser as being the best of them. And so I'm happy that we have Poser 9 right now. But yes, indeed, we have Poser 9. Sort of that's our base starting point. And then we have a version of Poser that's releasing simultaneously called Poser Pro 2012. Both of those will be available on September 20th. And then, of course, we can't forget about that entry point where we created a product called Poser Debut, which we released earlier this year. And that's a very inexpensive sort of stripped-down version of Poser so that we can kind of whet the appetite of folks that are fans of 3D and want to try it sort of painlessly at a low price point.
And that's a tool that even children can work with?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have kids that work with it. We've donated it to schools. It's a great way for teaching the basics of character animation, the basics of 3D animation, the basics of sort of like 3D illustration. It's a really, really nice tool for that.
Let's take a moment to talk about some of the new features in Poser 9.
That's perfect. I think the greatest spot to start in with would be subsurface scattering. Subsurface scattering is a really neat rendering technique that allows light to bounce through a translucent surface like skin or wax or marble or jade, and then actually bounce back through. And so a beam comes through as a straight line, and then it bounces back in a cone shape, and it picks up the color from the surface of the object it penetrates, and then it also amplifies that color as it bounces outward. So think of like when you're a little kid and you're on a camping trip and you put a flashlight in your mouth and it glows like red and orange and white. The red is picked up, even though it was a white flashlight bulb, the red is picked up by the color of your skin as the light passes through it. So that technique, that translucent technique, is what we're doing with subsurface scattering. And I have some images on the screen here that you can kind of see that's really dramatic. In this image here, there's a flashlight or a bright light source that's behind a hand, and it does a very, very realistic version of showing that. And that was a heavily user-requested feature, so I'm very, very pleased that we introduced that with Poser 9. We have a couple of other really outstanding kind of heavily demanded features as well. One of them is vertex weight mapping. So in the old days of rigging Poser, making those box-like or figures, those static pieces of geometry, to make them pose, what we used was a set of spheres or capsules, one small one inside of a larger one. And the area between those two spheres would be affected by a bend. So you could use one sphere to control what wouldn't be, and then another sphere would control where the bending stopped. It was a really nice, basic, simple system that our users adapted to very, very well. But over the period of the last couple of years, this new technique has arisen, and it does much more precise bending, and it allows every single square, every polygon that's on a piece of geometry has a vertex point. A quad poly has four of them. So now what we can do is set up individual values for each of those vertices, between 100% affected or 0% affected, and you can actually go through and paint those with the Poser Pro 2012 Creation Suite, but the whole Vertex weight map system is supported throughout the Poser 9 and the Pro 2012 product line. Now, what this will do ultimately is create some really wonderful, better bending characters. It'll really transform the way that these characters look on screen. You can dial in exactly where you want a wrinkle or a stretch on the outside of a joint or a wrinkle on the inside of the joint. You can control bulges. It's a great way to create them. And I think that because we have this well-adopted editing system inside Poser, it's going to be a much easier tool to use than other rigging tools that happen to be out in our space. There's a couple of other really neat things, too. We improved our OpenGL real-time preview, and it's incredibly dramatic. We're doing real-time previews now of normal mapping, real-time ambient occlusion with full soft shadows, and it's luscious. I mean, you actually start building a scene using the OpenGL, and you can see very realistically the shadow fall against a figure. You can see where an object might interpenetrate with another object. It's so helpful to see how a scene is lit before you actually even hit the render button. So it's a very, very precise way to be able to build. And it makes actually Poser a lot more fun to play with as well, too. And then we have a bunch of workflow enhancements. So we expanded out our context menus to shortcut a bunch of steps that users used to have to kind of hunt and peck for. We added in a new grouping object so that you could basically almost like layers. It's not really the best metaphor, but it's like layers in Photoshop in some respects, in that you can create a grouping object and then associate other objects in a scene with that, and you can globally transform them, move them around, scale them, hide them. Real, real nice functionality. And then there's a couple of other improvements to within the animation control. We have constraint channels and a bunch of improvements to our indirect lighting and our rendering. Depth of field has improved. Our motion blur has improved. So across the board, this is a very, very robust upgrade for our customers that are working with older versions. And we're actually pricing it very aggressively with this pre-sale program that starts out on the beginning on August 17th, I believe, and then closes on September 19th. And then we actually go live with the product shipping on the 20th.
Let's take a moment to talk about the idea of the community, because you've always fostered a huge community. And you've done it slightly different this year.
Yeah, you know, we're very influenced by this philosophy about engagement marketing. And engagement marketing basically is trying to figure out ways that you can better connect with your customers directly. So to really help with that, you know, it's a Herculean effort to be able to launch a product onto itself, to launch two products like what we're doing with 9 and 2012. It's an order of magnitude more complex. So to get a little bit of help with that, one of our folks on the team on the marketing side very creatively came up with a method of basically creating a set of ambassadors. So we went to the Runtime DNA Forum, which is a really beautiful forum with a lot of skillful artists that are part of it. We included them in the beta program and then actually gave them sort of marching orders on how to act as ambassadors on behalf of the product. We've created special badges for them on their web presence on the Runtime DNA forums, and we have a back end where we can talk to them and give them answers for certain questions that end users might have. And then on the front end, anybody who wants to kind of find out more about the two products can just ask questions, and then the ambassadors are there to address it. And it's been fantastic. We basically, if you summarize the rules, it was basically play nice and don't bite. That's all the basic rules that we had for everybody. And then they're very respectful of where they think that non-disclosure agreement kind of affects them, and they ask good questions. It's been a fantastic thing to see, because the reaction in the community to this announcement and the set of announcements that we've had about the product have been nothing short of phenomenal. So we're really happy with this new program.
There has been, throughout the industry, a push toward not only open standards, the Kronos Group, but also the idea of a little bit more transparency.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, funny thing that you mentioned the Kronos Group, because, of course, you know, just as a product manager, I do want to plug that we are very, very strongly supporting Collada. I just thank you for that opening. And secondly, in terms of transparency, you know, one of the things that actually is really fantastic, and it ties in again to this ambassador program, is that we're in a beta mode still with our application, yet we're going full out with our full feature reveal. We have every single item listed in a very a very comprehensive list. You can compare it to every single version up to Poser 7 before, so you can really see what the differences are between these. We're putting together a series of really informational videos as well, so you can see how the features work. And then actually opening it up so that those ambassador folks that are working on beta versions can actually start talking about the product. It's a pretty bold move for us, but again, the transparency is paying off big time. It's challenging to know these great things are going to be happening and then have all these people that are on the back end doing fantastic things like renderings or experimenting with rigging, and yet they can't talk about it. Here's where we're changing that. So I'm very pleased to see how it's coming about. It makes it easier for me as a product manager.
3D is one of those fields that just looks daunting from the outside, but it doesn't necessarily have to be, right?
That's true. There's an enormous amount of intimidation that occurs when people open up a brand new 3D package, especially some of the really powerful 3D apps that are out there. And it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. A philosophy that we've adopted is to transform the user interface into something that's more approachable by putting like a silly little face on a camera that would be a face camera, or having a light ball that has like pin cushions, that it's a pin cushion effect to see where the lights actually are, and you grab one of the pins and pull it around. That sort of philosophy has really served our users well, because it pulls the tools out of the way of being able to create. And then we also supply a bunch of content so folks can start dragging stuff into the scene, and it's very intuitive. They just drag it in and start creating and constructing it, lighting it, and then putting in other scene elements and click render and have an image.
And what's the stepping stone? You have several products at this point that start with entry point and work their way up, right?
Yeah, that debut point is a great new user entry point. It's about a $49 product, but it's stripped down. We've removed a lot of the things that we identified as sort of confusion points or stumbling blocks for folks, and wanted to just kind of focus on just on putting stuff together and playing with 3D, and then built a lot of tutorials into that that are both in text and in video format, so people can start with a simple tutorial on how to create a really complicated apartment scene, put characters in it, light it, and then turn it into images. And then from there, the next step up would be Poser 9, which is kind of like our most fundamental base version of the product. And this is actually where the largest installed set of users live and will be happy. And this does most everything that anyone would want to do inside a Poser. And then moving a little further up the chain into the Pro 2012 product line, this has a set of plugins so that people who are using Max and Maya, some of the high-end 3D applications, Cinema 4D and Lightwave, they can actually bring Poser content into those modeling tools so they can incorporate, for instance, in an industrial design project that they might be working on where they need a reference human. They could bring that human from Poser as a scene into those applications and then have it as a reference point in the images that they're creating. And then as well, we also full support for Collada inside the Pro product. And then all the new rigging editing tools for this new Vertex weight map system, those are all part of the Pro product line as well, too. As you are aware, there's an enormous ecosystem, again, tying back to the Poser community, an ecosystem of content creators that build themed-based clothing, historic clothing, sci-fi stuff, fantasy stuff. They build environments, replicas of Mediterranean villages, Western towns, cars, vehicles, weapons, etc. And all of these elements need to have content creation capability. So what we did was to expand out our tool set in Pro 2012 to enable these folks so they can then turn their content creations into a cottage industry. And that's actually been really satisfying to see. You know, the ecosystem is a very, very strong driver for us. We want to pay close attention to what the market needs are for those developers and make sure that their needs are well suited and met. And that's, I think, what we've done with the high end of the product.
Steve, where can our listeners find out more information about the different Poser products as well as the community?
So one of the first places I think I'd send folks for community information would be the Runtime DNA website, and that's www.runtimedna.com/forum. And in there you'll find an official Poser 9, Poser Pro 2012 forum. And then as well, we have a website where we're announcing all of our new information, and that would be Poser.com. smithmicro.com/coming soon, all one word. So those are great, two great places to check out stuff. And you'll find our videos and the comparison charts on the Coming Soon website.
I want to thank Steve Cooper of Smith Micro and of Poser for spending time with us today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure hanging out with you as well.
For Mac Edition Radio, this is Harris Vogel.
You've been listening to Mac Edition Radio, available on the web at www.maceditionradio.com. The contents are copyright 2010 and may not be used without written permission.